Well, hey, what's going on? Happy Thursday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a minute, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. But first, let's recap the Reds game from late on Wednesday afternoon. Reds taking on the Diamondbacks, the rubber game of the Reds' three-game series in Arizona. Andrew Abbott on the hill for the Reds against Brandon Fott for the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks took a 1-0 lead on Andrew Abbott's really only mistake of the day. He left a 1-2 sweeper over the middle of the plate, and Christian Walker just barely hit the ball out to left center field. 1-0 Diamondbacks. The Reds' offense, they were without Ellie De La Cruz, who got his first day off of the season, and Jonathan India, who was a late scratch with a migraine. And boy, did the Reds' offense struggle early. Reds didn't have a hit through the first four innings, and Brandon Fott had 7 strikeouts. The only base runner was a Jacob Herdebe's walk, but with 2 outs in the top of the 5th, Santiago Espinal homered to left center field. Second home run of the season for Espinal, tied the game up at 1. And Andrew Abbott, he was fantastic. Went 7 innings pitched, just gave up 4 hits. That 1 run, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. Diamondbacks had 11 ground ball outs as Abbott just really was able to get a lot of weak ground balls. A lot of balls hit straight into the ground. Another great performance from Andrew Abbott. And Abbott lowered his season ERA down to 3.06. It was still a 1-1 game going into the bottom of the 8th. Reds turned it over to Fernando Cruz. Cruz retired the first 2 batters, but then he fell behind in the count to Pavin Smith. And Pavin Smith made him pay by smoking a double to right field. The next batter, Gurriel Jr., hit a pitch off the end of the bat into right field, just out of the reach of Jake Fraley, made it 2-1 Diamondbacks. Reds went 1-2-3 in the 9th. Reds fall 2-1. Reds on the afternoon just collected 3 hits and 2 walks. So another rough performance from the Cincinnati offense. Reds now 18-25 on the season. Reds lost their 6th consecutive series. And the Reds are now a remarkable 1-10 in one-run games this season. After the game, here's what David Bell had to say.
It was tougher to take, knowing the pitching that Andrew Abbott gave you here today.
Sure, Andrew did a great job today. Just really in complete command against their whole lineup. Threw a lot of strikes, got a lot of ground balls. Just a good mix of pitches, and you know, it's a good, a great game. You know, it came down to who was going to score first there late, and the Diamondbacks were able to do it, and that was the difference.
What was Fott doing to keep you guys so off balance today?
Yeah, I mean, made pitches, his ability to throw sliders in the zone, kind of in any count, left right-handed hitter, was a big part of it, but you know, he's good. We've seen him before. He's been good against us.
Seems like Cruz gets the 2 outs and then they can't finish that last batter to get out of an inning. It's been like this a couple times.
He threw strikes today. Got behind to Smith. And he had a nice swing on it, but got 2 strikes, like you said, 3 strikes. They got 2 hits to win the game. So Cruz is going to continue to be good for us.
You guys have 7 games now, the next 11 against the Dodgers and stuff. It's tough. The schedule just keeps getting harder, but obviously you guys are prepared to deal with that.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we do. We prepare for this, and you know, we've talked about that a lot. It's very important to us as a team, to me, that, you know, our team doesn't talk about that. We expect to go out and win. We know we're good. We believe we're good. And, you know, I think because of that, we don't spend a lot of time talking about who we're going to play next, other than the preparation for the team coming up. But, yeah, I mean, we got to beat these teams. So that's you know, we're no different than every other team. You know, we play every single team in baseball, and you know, it's a good challenge.
And here's Wednesday's starting pitcher, Andrew Abbott.
What you accomplished though today?
Yeah, I felt really good. Walker took me deep, but it was, on a borderline pitch. It was still a good swing. But other than that, I was able to get ahead, stay ahead, got some early outs, and, relied on off-speed stuff, really pitching backwards to keep them off balance and, not getting in much trouble.
You had a lot of ground balls today. Was that, obviously you love ground balls, but I mean, part of the plan, or was that just the way it worked out today?
I think it's just the way it worked out, really. I'm a fly ball pitcher. I don't really get many ground balls, but, that's always a plus when it does happen. Execution or, couldn't really tell you what it is, but it feels good to just get outs no matter how they come.
Can you remember the last time you guys won a series?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that we lost. It's baseball, though. I mean, it's going to happen. That's why it's a long season. We have a lot of games left. As I said earlier, just staying true to who we are, staying true to routines and stuff, it'll turn around. We just have to keep playing. Eventually those bounces will go our way instead of going against us. It's important not to focus or dwell on the negatives right now. So just turn the page, keep playing, and eventually it'll turn around.
All right, our deep drive of the day was Santiago Espinal's solo home run in the fifth inning. Had an exit velocity of 99.7 miles per hour, traveling 390 feet to left center field. And our deep drive of the day sponsored, as always, by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. All right, checking out scores around the NL Central. Brewers, they won 10-2 over the Pirates. Brewers hit 5 home runs. They've now won 5 of their last 7. Cubs, they won 7-1 over the Braves. Cubs are able to salvage the final game of that 3-game series. And the Cardinals, they lost 7-2 to the Angels. Cardinals failed to get their first sweep of 2024. So your NL Central standings on Thursday morning. Brewers leading the way at 26-17. Cubs 25-19. Pirates 19-25. And then the Reds and the Cardinals are tied at 18-25, 8 games back. Some good news, though. The Padres, they were swept at home by the lowly Colorado Rockies. The Nationals lost the series to the White Sox. So the Reds are still somehow, some way, just 2.5 back from the final wild card spot, which is now a 3-way tie with the Padres, the Nationals, and now the Arizona Diamondbacks. And some real good perspective maybe right now. If the Reds were in the American League, their record would make them 6.5 games back from the final wild card spot. So, as disappointing as it's been of late for the Cincinnati Reds, it could be a lot worse if they were playing in the other league. All right, well, here's myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube trying to make sense of another difficult day from the Reds offense. Stay tuned at the end. I'll tell you about all the Reds minor league action and preview the Reds' next series starting on Thursday night against the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Anyway, Nick, another losing edition of Chatterbox Reds, man. It's a shame. It's really a shame because they've thrown the ball so well over the stretch, and here we sit. So
frustrating game. Yeah. I don't know what to say at this point.
You just need something to go your way. You just need some momentum. You need to build on something at some point, and it just, I don't know if it's in the cards, or I don't know if it's just right around the corner, but it's certainly just, it's just demoralizing because it's the one run affair more than anything. I don't know, maybe it wouldn't feel better if they just got their tails kicked in every day, but that's not happening all that often. It's like, it's a play here, it's a play there, and here we go again. We find ourselves looking up because the hole gets deeper and deeper. And I don't know how you feel, Nick, but at this point, the Reds offense, it just feels like this is who they are more than a, and maybe it's a slump. But it feels like this is closer and closer to becoming just who they are. They're inconsistent, and they're really not all that great of a hitting lineup as it is. So I don't know if you kind of want to paint a picture. To be fair to the Reds offense and the pitching, I did not see a ton of. I listened to the Tommy for quite a good bit of this. I picked it up in like the seventh inning on, and I just don't know what to make of much of the approach, the at bats. If you're going to kind of fill me in on what you felt like that looked like today, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard to tell because the Reds' offense has been so bad for so long. It felt like it was more about Brandon Pfaadt today, but I'm not going to blame anyone who doesn't want to use that as a reason why they lost. He looked really good. I mean, I thought he pitched incredibly well, and obviously the Reds didn't have their A, B, C, or D lineup out there. My guess with Ellie De La Cruz, I had him on the rundown later. My guess is last night he came into the dugout and David Bell said, I got to give this guy a day off. Because I don't think that he would have planned it against a right-handed pitcher. I think he probably would have done it earlier in this series against a left-handed pitcher. But Ellie probably was fine and seemed fine. But I'm guessing last night, David, just there was something that made him say, I have to give this guy a day off. And that's why they did that today. And then India can't play with a migraine. And, I mean, you have a lineup that is just not very good. And, of course, Santiago Espinal is the only one that can hit the ball. I mean, the Reds did have a couple pretty good swings against the relievers. They had four hard hit balls in the two innings against Ryan Thompson and Paul Sewald, you know, kind of for nothing. But Brandon Pfaadt was incredible. Reds offense wasn't good. And that's where you end up with a 2-1 loss.
I get that people are tired of the offense. We're all tired of it. I don't know really what else there is to say other than that there's not enough good quality hitters in this lineup to make it all add up. You know, you look through, like you had just mentioned, obviously the Bosco recap, but you look through the lineup, your 2, 3, 4 hitters, right? Fraley, Ford, and Steer. And even for that matter, why not just add Candelario? I mean, those are that's the core of your lineup. And you're what, 1 for 16? That's just not going to get it done. That's not going to get it done. And that's a 1 for 16, and that's nobody, it's not getting on base, you know? It'd be one thing if these guys could walk every so often. I got 2 walks today, you know? So, and one of them was obviously Maley, who had come in. But I don't know, man.
In fairness to Mike Ford, he did have 3 hard hit balls. He smoked one in the ninth.
Ninth inning.
He had some pretty good swings. Jake Fraley looked really bad today. There's not really a whole lot of sugarcoating. Fraley, I mean, Fraley's been good at times, but man, he's also had some really bad at bats also at times. I know he's battled sickness. I know he had bronchitis. I know they talked about the broadcast. The guy was playing with an inhaler in the dugout. And, you know, I don't give him credit for all that, but he had 2 hits yesterday, had 3 hits on the 11th. So he's had a couple good games, but he's also had games where he also looks lost at times. It's been a really weird season for Fraley. He only has 1 home run right now and over 100 at bats. Like, I would never expect that with Jake Fraley. I feel like he's a guy that should have some more power, and I'm sure that the illness is probably a big contributor to why that power hasn't showed up yet. But he's the guy that you really need to be that big bat against right-handed pitching right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that Sean's been on the trail right now about the lineup, and I know how you feel mostly about the lineup. But, you know, I mean, not that it mattered today. It's not like Candelario did a lot. But, you know, I guess a guy like Candelario is seeing the ball a little bit better. Mike Ford came off the streets for that matter. And then, to be fair, when I say come off the streets, he was doing all right in Louisville, as we all know. We were calling for him to come up, but I don't know. I don't think it matters, guys. Listen, I argued with Nick. I debated with Nick. I kind of made a big deal about lineups matter. I think they do matter, but I don't think this matters. I'm looking at this lineup, and I'm like, I'm going to keep it a kid show, but you know what they say about, you know, chicken X, like, it is what it is. That's what we got here. It's just not good. I mean, I had to say, this team's not got enough good players on it. And it's as simple as that. We can leave. I genuinely would just leave it at that, because I think that's the truth. And we can sit here and, you know, gesture and, you know, talk about David Bell, and we could discuss Nick Kroll and, hate me for saying it. I know some of you are, this isn't an excuse. I'm not saying this is an excuse, but I am saying it's a reality that that they've been backed into this corner where their depth between what they have in Dayton and their depth between what they have that just came up last year, if you want to get upset, you could get upset about that because there's no real consistent crop of guys that are coming up behind them. But let's also face the facts that is it realistic to have big league ready players every single year coming up through your farm system? I don't know if it is. I mean, at some point you need some consistency in regards to some guys staying healthy. And maybe that's the bigger question mark. I know that we'll probably talk about it a little bit later, but you know, until we have some guys that are here on a day in, day out basis over the course of a full season, it's going to be hard to be consistently good. So, you know, nobody has an answer for this Reds offense. And the answer is that the players that they have to play better. And I think that genuinely, they're not good enough to play better. Simple as that. So I don't know if you have anything to add to that before we get into Andrew Abbott.
If it was up to me, I would move Jamer Candelario up in the lineup since that's such a huge topic. But do you really think that's going to change anything? Like, Evan, shout out to Evan. He made a great point in the chat. If you can pinpoint one guy in the lineup, you're like, if that guy moves up, that would change something. That means the offense is just not performing.
Yeah, I mean, like... Guys, we have Will Benson, who again, I know we give him credit because he's had to face left-handers, this, that, and the other, but he's batting leadoff for our baseball team right now. He's hitting .190. You know, Jake Fraley, shout out to him, but he is hitting .300 with a .730 OPS, so good for him. Got Mike Ford hitting in the three hole. He's hitting .170. You got Steer hitting .240. You got Candelario hitting .230. And then from there, you got guys like Capel batting. And I get it. You can't really use statistics when guys only have 10 at bats. But let's just face the facts, man. Can they play better or not? Can they play over their head or not? We're going to find out over the next week and a half. So it is what it is. Like, they're not dead yet, but they're going to have to play well over the next 10 days or else. You can call it whatever you want. I mean, we're going to be here every single day. We're going to talk about the Reds. We're going to talk about things that are obviously seem important, but we're not going to sit here and lie to everyone in their face and tell you that, you know, this is just a fluke. Like we're not idiots, you know. It is what it is, and I hate to say this, but if you don't have Matt McClain and you don't have Noelvé Marte and you don't have TJ Friedl and you for lack of a better term. You know, Lodolo is what it is. We thank God Brandon Williams might be coming back to kind of fill that in. But my point is, if like CES is out, let's use another sport for just a quick example. And maybe people will say this isn't the same. That's what like. Okay, if Joe Burrow goes down, Ja'Marr Chase goes down, and Logan Wilson goes down, and Hendrickson goes down, like. Is the expectation for the Bengals to be great? No, but you'd like to think that they're going to be somewhat competitive, and they're being competitive. They just can't find a way to win, and that's where we're at right now. So, like, this team's competitive. They've been in games. They can't get the big hit, and they can't find a way to win. And I know that ultimately, maybe you want to point fingers at somebody for that, and I understand. And trust me, no one's sitting here. That'd be the last thing I'm going to say about all this. No one's sitting here saying that it's like it's perfectly fine and like, oh, it's, you know, no big deal. If there's a gripe, if there's a considerable gripe for this team, I think the considerable gripe is that unfortunately they have a huge hole from a position player standpoint that's just not quite big league ready yet that can just start to fill these spots in, you know? And maybe we find out they do, and at that point we can get really pissed off. If Blake Dunn ends up being a great player, I'm trying to think of other guy. I mean, Jacob Herdebees is already here. Mike Ford's already here. How many more of these guys do we think are actually going to genuinely help us from I don't know, is LaVon Soto supposed to come up? But I digress. I'm going to get ourselves into weeds that we don't need to go down. But I guess if you're reasonable right now, I think that we all can understand exactly why this is happening.
And I mean, look, the Reds office has been really bad and it's felt dire and brutal. But if you do take a step back, I mean, you look at the last 8 games, they're 2-8. Lost a one-run game to the Diamondbacks, They lost 2 of 3 to San Francisco, and we all know that Sunday game. I mean, they had a 3-0 lead. They gave up a 3-run home run that was just a brutal home run. I mean, you have the blown save by Alexis Diaz on Monday, and then today you lose another 1-run game. So, well, yeah, I mean, it feels dire. They're also the margin between winning and losing has been, you know, very
not a ton
thin. So I don't want to make a big deal about the last 10 games, but at the same time, I mean, like, they have dug themselves such a big hole now that it's almost getting to a point where it's going to become near impossible to get out of. So it's not like the games themselves are, like, they're that far off, but the reality is starting to set in that, you know, it is what it is.
I guess my thing is, like, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here off the beaten path too much. And I know that, like, I'm looking at Jim in the chat. Jim's upset. Like, and Jim, like, I feel for Jim. Like, I understand where Jim's sentiments come from. Like, at some point when you've gone 20 years, that's a long time without winning a playoff series. But my question is ultimately, like, and this is where, you know, you start to get into the semantics and the fundamentals of all this, is like, who do we blame for the 20 years? Because, I mean, if we want to blame Nick Kroll, how much of that is actually Nick Kroll versus somebody else's problem? You know, like, I mean, they didn't create this whole entire mess. And I do understand the ownership thing, okay? I'm not going to defend the owners, but, like, is that going to change? And someone's going to be like, oh, well, you can stop spending money. Like, okay, like, come on, man. Let's have reasonable discussion here. Let's be honest. Just because Trace decides he's not going to go to games ever again, like, is that going to change anything? I just don't think of it. Again, I guess if it's a well-coordinated effort and perfectly everybody does it, okay. But I'm just going to move past that point. My main thing is, like, you can't mortgage the future and try to be like, oh, let's go trade a bunch of guys to try to save a season that, quite honestly, we don't even know if we can save. And then on top of that, you know, realistically speaking, I don't even know if they have a theoretical problem if guys can stay healthy. Now, I get it. That's part of the game. But again, to be clear, it would be much different if all of these guys were healthy and this is the results we were getting. But we all damn well know, when you look up and down this process or roster, and not just the process, I guess, but my point is like, we know that Mike Ford's not a part of this team. It wasn't supposed to be. We know Connor Capel is not supposed to be a part of this team. We know Santiago Espinal is not supposed to be a big role on this team. Jacob Herdavies is playing now. Like, half this lineup are guys that are just fill-ins. They're not future pieces. So what are we going out and are we trading for? Are we trading for rentals? Like, it just, we all can agree that it doesn't make sense. And I guess I'll use the other analogy. It feels like sometimes you use other sports analogies. Like, you're not going to go out and trade your first round pick or your first and second round pick in the NFL just because your quarterback goes down for the season and you're going to try to go find a serviceable backup quarterback somewhere else. You realize that, hey, it is what it is. Sometimes you got to punt. You got to punt. And right now, the Reds, I'm not saying they should punt, but I am saying that you just pray that you can get through this stretch of baseball and hopefully you find yourself at the All-Star break, maybe 5, 6, 7 games out of it, and you got your full crew back and you get hot. But if you don't, at least you know going into the next season, all of the guys that you thought were going to be ready. My point is, you want to go trade Rhett Lauder? Is that what we want to do? Nobody in their right mind is going to start to actually trade guys to the Reds for big league talent without getting something in return. It's going to require you to trade Rhett Lauder, trade Cam Collier, trade, I don't know if anyone wants Connor Phillips anymore, to be frank, but it's my point is valid. Chase Petty. You're going to have to trade someone like that to get someone even somewhat notable to maybe help you this season. And I guess my point at the end of the day, we all know that's ridiculous. At least I think we do. And if I'm wrong for saying that, I'm sorry. We have differing opinions. And you can fan and love and root for this team however you want. I'm not saying that that's the way in which you have to believe. I am saying that's the way that I believe. And I think that should frame a reference on the way in which we can just sit here and every single day, I'm not going to get sideways about them trading for somebody, Nick. I'll leave it at that. I'm done ranting, and I don't know what it is. Preaching is probably not the right word, but that's how I feel.
The Game Time app is now an authorized ticket marketplace for Major League Baseball. That makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in pricing, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. With all-in pricing, you can toggle this feature, and it shows you the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. The lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CINCY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. And we also want to remind you that you can call or text 988 at any time, day or night. The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is a place to get support for anything related to mental health. Whether it's an immediate crisis, simply wanting to find out how to connect with care, or anything in between, it's a 100% confidential, secure, and anonymous way to reach out for help when you don't know where else to turn. To connect, call or text 988 or visit mantherapy.org to get help. It's okay not to be okay. Let's talk about the two guys that did perform well today.
We got a short list.
Well, yeah, we got two. Andrew Abbott, you know, look, shout out to him. He's having an incredible year. ERA now down to 3.06. He was the kind of pitcher that if you were on the opposing dugout, man, you would just get so frustrated having at bat after at bat against him, just hitting the ball straight into the ground. He's having an incredible season. I've just been so impressed with him. Seven innings today, went deep into the game. I know I mentioned this the stat last night. So Hunter Greene has three of those starts. Andrew Abbott has two. Who was the other one? Nick Lodolo had one and no one else has any. So Andrew Abbott also being a guy that's able to go deep into the game, preserve the bullpen. And sure, it wasn't a loss and it seems meaningless. And in some ways it is, but you're going into LA and you know you're going to be starting Nick Martinez. It's good to have some arms fresh. So it was big that the Reds only had to use one arm today, and that'll give them a chance at least in Los Angeles.
That's a good way. That's a positive outlook, certainly, on Andrew Abbott's performance today spill into another game that we ultimately won't be able to see, and it'll make the difference between them winning and losing. That's a real thing. But it's not quantifiable. It's not like something you could point to and say, look, that's exactly how it went. This is 100% Andrew Abbott's win 2 days from now. But it's possible. I think the bigger story is just the fact that they continue to provide quality starts, and this pitching staff that we were excited about has lived up to expectations. They've done everything that they possibly could have done to give this team more than a fair chance to win on a nightly basis, and that's what you hope. And Andrew Abbott, let's face it as well, wasn't 100% guarantee that we were going to get this Andrew Abbott. There towards the end of spring training, I don't think, you know, nobody was 100% confident that this guy was going to be who he was last season, because he had some rough starts and he didn't finish last season on a very high note. So it is nice to see Andrew Abbott bounce back. I think that's the bigger story. And, you know, if it turns out that maybe his extended outing today helps them against the Dodgers, and you're not wrong in saying that Martinez is probably a guy that will be a little more on a short leash per se. So they're going to need their bullpen, you know, maybe it'll help them out. So it's, like I said, I did not get to see a ton of the game, but I think that that's a fair point.
Not even Martinez just on a short leash. I think everyone is, you have a chance against the Dodgers to have a hard time making it through three innings. Any of the Reds starting pitchers, just with how incredibly deep that lineup is. So you want your bullpen to go in fresh. And the last 2 days, actually, I mean, Hunter Greene yesterday, Andrew Abbott today, is at least going to give the bullpen a fighting chance this weekend.
100%. They're as fresh as you could hope on a road trip like this. So
yeah.
All right, Espinal. I see it in the chat. People are pleased with his ability to play shortstop today, and then obviously he's the only reason that the Reds even have a run. So I guess any thoughts on him? He's starting to play significantly better, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's hopefully a league average hitter. I think he can get close to that or slightly below that, and that's fine for his role. He's playing great defense, made a great play today. This is the first time we've seen him play shortstop, so it's nice to know that he's a capable backup. Hopefully, hope to God we don't have to use him at shortstop, like maybe ever again, but it's nice to know that that's an option. He's played good at second base. He's played good at third base. He's been a solid player for this team. You know, I think he's going to be probably a forgettable guy in a couple years, but if somehow this season turns around, he could be a valuable member of this team that helps this team stay afloat. So shout out to Santiago Espinal, a guy that was really, really struggled, really got off to a brutal start after getting traded over here. Hopefully he's getting a little more comfortable, and hopefully he can be a decent contributor the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, he's a fill-in piece. It is what it is. I don't get excited watching Espinal play, largely because I know inevitably it's a one and done situation if everything goes right. Similar to I'm just saying if everything goes right. I mean, when I say one and done, he's not going to get serviceable time. He's not playing meaningful baseball game. Like he's not playing a significant amount. Maybe if he's a bench guy, sure, but not act like Nuelve Marte and Matt McClain and Ellie De La Cruz and whoever you want to put it first. CES would be ideal, but maybe it's not CES. Regardless, that's your infield. If everything goes according to plan. Nick Lodolo. Listen, people are frustrated. I don't blame. It's only 15 days. I'm just going to shut up. I'm going to get myself in a really. I just hope Nick Lodolo is a cautionary tale, and it's an opportunity to say, you know what, hey, let's be very, very overly cautious. Let's make sure we got Brandon Williamson on his way up. He can take one of the starts, and we can reassess from there. I might have missed something, though. Might have missed something. Your thoughts on Nick Lodolo?
Yeah, they said on the broadcast that Lodolo thinks he's only going to need the minimum time off, miss like two starts and come back. I'm going to take that with a grain of salt. I'm not going to be super optimistic about that, but the words sound nice, that's for sure. I recorded a little something with Elliot earlier that's up on Chatterbox, little Chatterbox Reacts. And look, if Nick Lodolo would have been like the big injury this year, the Reds could not have used that as an excuse. Like, you had to be prepared that this was a possibility with right. Nick Lodolo. What Nick Lodolo has given you so far this year is great. It's a bonus. It should not have been factored into what you were expecting to get this year. So now the Matt McClain and Nuevi Marte and those kind of things, that's a whole different story. But this couldn't have been an excuse. And I don't think it has been an excuse. And thankfully, knock on wood, the Reds have been prepared to this point to at least survive without Nick Lodolo. But, you know, he's been incredible. So, again, if you have any chance of turning this around, you'd think that Nick Lodolo would be a big part of that. But you also never know. You know, last year they won 12 games in a row with a rotation that in 10 years, try to have people tell you what that rotation was, and people maybe get one, two names out of it.
Correct. You bring up an excellent point. I do think Lodolo's a guy in which you start the season off, you got to have a plan B on. It kind of like, you know, I use a terrible analogies from time to time. I'll use another one for everybody. It feels like if you're heading on a road trip, right, and you don't check the oil or you don't take it somewhere, you're going on like a really long road trip. You don't see if there's, like I said, the appropriate oil, then that's kind of on you. It feels like the Reds, though, their injuries, it feels like more of like you start the trip off and you're like 20 minutes in and your windshield like cracks. It's like, well, I don't really feel like you could have planned that. And having Marte and McClain go down, both of them go down within like, what was it? The span of, you know, less than 20 days. It's pretty much impossible to plan for that. So they did their best. They did their best, but Lodolo, I don't expect him to miss much time. I'm going to be optimistic here. I really do. It's funny that we said this stuff last night, on the podcast, just in regards, like, what do you do with Brandon Williamson? Oh no. And, you know, here we go again. We're like, well, you just got to wait for somebody. And I had said that Andrew Abbott, right, he would go on a phantom IL stint, and it turns out maybe it's Nick Lodolo. And I don't want to say it's phantom, but I do think that there's some reasonable discussion around the idea that they're going to give these guys rest if they feel like there's somebody else that could that can kind of throw with them if they don't feel great. So there's that.
They did say Lodolo felt this before his last start, was able to pitch through it, and then I think they said when he did his tossing in between days, that's when it really kind of aggravated enough to where he needed to take a couple starts off, was kind of the timeline on that.
All right. You already mentioned it a little bit with Ellie. Got the day off today. Bell, obviously, it's a good time to give guys days off, right? On getaway days where you got a day game and then you obviously got to travel afterwards. If you got a guy that you feel like needs some rest, today's the day to give him the rest. So that's all this was. And hopefully, it's just a shame that this Reds team. And I'm not here to, people are going to be pissed. It always feels like the Reds are on the bad end of some small bad luck. And bad luck's not a right term. Like I don't know what the term is, Nick. But it's like, what do you call it when your best player sits and then you end up losing 2-1 instead of either winning 6-1 or losing 6-1? It's like, of all the days for Ellie to sit, I don't know. This is one day that maybe he could have made the actual difference in the game. But you got to give him a day off at some point. So here we are.
Well, what do you think about this? I know I saw some people upset about this. What do you think about them giving Ellie De La Cruz the day off and then having him pinch it late in the game and then stay in the game? Do you think that's contradictory? Do you think that still is like a sort of a day off? How do you
view it? I view it as a day off when you're that young. Yeah, I view it as a day off. I think if you're like, 40, maybe you shut it down and you're like, you know what? I don't really want to get warmed up for the day or get loose. And you tell Ellie to go down to the tunnel and stretch and kind of get himself ready. And he could probably be ready in about 10 minutes. I look at it as a day off personally, but I understand where people's logic comes from with that. And I don't ask me where the line in the sand between being a young player and being an old player when that's a day off and not a day off. I don't know the answer to that. but at 22 years old, yeah, I mean, I think you got the day off. Mentally, you relax. You're like, I'm not in the lineup. So be it. Game starts to progress. So you got to, play a couple innings of baseball and then you're out of there. I don't know. I don't make much of it.
Yeah, I doubt Ellie worked up a sweat for one at bat and one inning of work. So yeah, I mean it's eight trips. You're not walking out onto the field and tossing in between innings. I mean, there is definitely some of a day off. It does. I get it. It does feel weird, like you get a day off, but then you still play for an inning. I get that feels weird, but I do think, and just maybe more the reason I would be okay with that is I see a lot of other managers do that same thing. It's not like this is the first time I've seen a manager give a guy a day off and then bring him in late. And Dusty Baker would do that. Managers all across baseball do that. How about I don't know if you saw this, Jonathan India. I found it very weird. So he had a migraine that kept him out of the game, which, look, I'm not downplaying migraines. They can be absolutely brutal, and it's really hard to judge the severity of that. Why would you make the guy go? Why would the guy go sit in the dugout? Like, he had like glasses on to like help him, not see anything.
Right.
Why would you not just like, if he has a migraine that bad, just let this guy, poor guy, go sit on the couch in a dark room, and then hey, maybe we'll go in the eighth inning. Hey, Jonathan, you think you could do, think you could come in and get in that bat? Like, why would he sit on the bench? Like, if he has a migraine, I don't understand that.
No, it's a good point. That's an idiotic thing to do. I don't really understand why. I mean, maybe he was like, I don't know. Some guys are weird. I don't want to put this on India. I don't know who
I'm
it
sure
is.
I'm just saying, India, exactly.
Like, India could have been like,
hey, support the team by going to the dugout and resting, and maybe you can come in later. I don't. That was weird.
Yes, I feel like there's a small chance. And again, I'm not trying to crush anybody or say it's India's fault. My guess is India was like, I'm a leader on this team. I need to be in the dugout, and they're like, well, all right. Well, you need to, and that was his decision. My guess is that it was his decision. If it wasn't his decision, whoever's decision it was, that's a mistake. I'll leave it at that. Like if somebody, and I don't know if it was David Bell, I don't know who it would have been, But if someone was like, hey, we don't really care. Here's these glasses. We need you in the dugout. That's just being an idiot. That's genuinely just being a hard idiot. So I hope for the almost like the vibe of the culture of the clubhouse that it was Jonathan India who was like, no, I'm dead set on sitting in here. I don't want to be missing my guys, which again is kind of stupid. But if that's how he feels, then I guess you just let the guy run out there and put glasses on. I don't know.
I feel like I would have been like, no, go sit in the dugout. I applaud your effort. It's great that you want to be out here.
Right.
Go sit. No sound, nothing. Just relax yourself. And maybe we can use you later. Or if not, hopefully the migraine will go away and you feel better. Yeah, I'm with you
as well. That's a good point by you. Someone should have been, this is funny to say, but someone should have been a leader to the leader or whatever, or overruled the leader and been like, no, this is what's best for the team, is for you to go somewhere where you can actually fix your issue. And that way, if your issue does get fixed, there's a chance you could help us out. Sitting in this damn dugout with glasses on, the towel over your head, I mean, it's not... This is just wasting our time, you know? It's like, what are you doing out here? It's like the idiot that comes into work sometimes that's got like snot running out of their nose, they're hacking all over the place, and you're like, yeah, I mean, I'm glad you came into work, but you're not getting any work done, and you're also giving a chance for everyone else to get sick. So I kudos to you for being tough, but get the hell out of here. Hopefully nobody in the chat does that. If you do, you should think twice about going to work next time you're actually really sick. Yeah.
We would never at Chatterbox Sports.
No. No. We don't work at Chatterbox. There's that. It's not true at all.
All right, well, let's get you caught up on all the Reds minor league action. We'll start off with AAA. Louisville Bats, they were postponed. Supposed to play against the Columbus Clippers. Bats, they're 22-18. They're going to play a doubleheader on Thursday starting at 12:05. Down to AA, Chattanooga, they lost 6-5 to Birmingham. Lookouts fall to 11-24 on the season. However, Bubba Thompson, he hit his first home run. He was 2-for-5, drove in 2 runs. Tyler Callahan, he was 2-for-3 with a walk, so on base 3 times. Also stole a bag, his 13th of the season. Tyler Callahan has really turned it on of late, hitting .341 with a .462 on base percentage in the month of May. So on a Chattanooga Lookouts team that's been certainly rough to watch this year and been very, very few bright spots on the offense, Tyler Callahan is playing very well of late. And Austin Hendrick, he was on base 3 times, 1-for-2, 2 walks. He also stole his 7th base of the season. Hunter Parks was on the mound in the game. Tough start for him. Just went 2 innings, gave up 5 hits, 4 runs. Did only walk 1 batter, struck out 5. Hunter Parks, a ERA of 6.17. through 7 starts this season. Parks, a promising young arm, can really throw the ball hard, can hit triple digits, so hopefully he'll be able to turn it around here in the near future. All right, High A, the Dayton Dragons, they lost 8-5 to Great Lakes. Dragons now 15-20 on the season. Only good real performer on the offensive side was Hector Rodriguez. He had a great day, 3-for-5 with a double and a triple. Cam Collier was 1-for-5, Sal Stewart 0-for-3, Carlos Jorge, 1-for-3. Jay Allen, 0-for-3. Bryce Hubbard, Reds 2022 third-round pick out of Florida State. Another tough outing for him. Didn't make it through 3 innings. Gave up 5 hits, 4 earned runs. Walked 3. Struck out 3. The Daytona Tortugas down at Low A, they were postponed as well. Supposed to play against Clearwater on the road. Tortugas, they're 18-16 on the season. They will also play a doubleheader on Thursday starting at 4 p.m. All right. Well, Reds will start a series with the L.A. Dodgers Thursday night, 10 p.m. Your probables for the series. Thursday night's game will be Brent Suter getting the start for the Reds. Nick Martinez also will probably get the bulk, but the Reds look like they're going to go with a somewhat of an opener, although we've seen Brent Suter go 3 innings this year, so I would imagine if he does pitch effectively, he'll certainly probably get a chance to pitch more than one, possibly even more than 2 innings. He'll be going up against Tyler Glass now, 6-1, 2.53 ERA. Friday, also a 10-10 start. It'll be Frankie Montas, 2-3, 4.20 ERA going for the Reds against James Paxton. Been a great story for the Dodgers this year, 5-0, 2.58 ERA. Saturday, a 9-10 start. It'll be Graham Ashcraft, 3-2, 4.12 ERA. Going against Walker Buehler. He struggled coming back off Tommy John surgery. He's 0-1 with a 7.36 ERA. And then Sunday is a 4-10 start. Hunter Green will take the ball, 2-2, 3.27 ERA. The Dodgers have not yet announced a starter for Sunday, but the most likely pitcher, at least according to Fangraphs, will be Yoshinobu Yamamoto. All right, some other notes on the Dodgers. Dodgers, they are 29-16. They lead the NL West by 7.5 games. Dodgers, 29 wins, tied with the Yankees, second most in Major League Baseball, only behind the Phillies, who have 31. Of course, the Reds did win the season series against the Phillies, so not sure what that means. Dodgers, plus 81 run differential. It's the best in the majors. Phillies next at plus 72. Dodgers playing well also, 17-5 since April 21st, 6-1-0 in their last seven series. Thursday night will be Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night. Saturday, Will Smith bobblehead night. Dodgers, they've been the staple of Major League Baseball. They've won 10 out of the last 11 NL West titles. Dodgers have the most wins in Major League Baseball since 2019. And Dave Roberts, he's got the best win percentage of any MLB manager since World War II. Well, the Reds did last season, of course, go 4-2 against the Dodgers after going 0-7 back in 2022. Reds have actually won two of their last three series at Dodger Stadium. Reds are 14-18 at Dodger Stadium since 2018. And hey, can't forget 2018, the Cincinnati Reds, they finished that year 67-95. LA Dodgers finished that year 92-71, and the Reds, they swept the Dodgers in a four-game series at Dodger Stadium. All right, and if you're tired of these late-night West Coast games, I do have some good news for you. Following this series against the Dodgers, the rest of the year, the Reds only have two games at 8:40 p.m. That's when they're in Colorado. Every other game the rest of the season, other than that, 8:10 or earlier, so bear through this last week. All right, well, thanks so much for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. Really do appreciate all of your support. If you've not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you do that now. We have new podcasts the morning after every single game, which I'm sure will be important for some during this West Coast road trip when you might not be able to stay up. It'll be posted in your feed bright and early by the time you wake up. Also, if you could leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast, that really does help us out. And tell a Reds fan about what we do here at Chatterbox Reds. Word of mouth, still the best way to help spread our little show around. Off the bench, 10 a.m. to noon, Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. Be sure to check that out. The guys will be talking, of course, Reds baseball, Bengals schedule release. I'm sure they'll be breaking all that down and talking all your Cincinnati sports headlines and beyond. Also, the Kenner and Kev show is from 3 to 5 p.m., Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. That is a simulcast from the 1410 Wing AM ESPN radio show in Dayton. Well, hope that you have a fantastic Thursday. See you either late on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube about 12:40 a.m. or so. And then, of course, if not, we'll talk to you in your podcast feed. Have a great day. Go Reds.